The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Okay, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Eric is indisposed at the moment.
I'm afraid he's been having GI problems and uncomfortable bloating.
But I'm sure he'll be out in a jiff.
Oh, here he is now.
Looking pale and shaken. Oh, you okay, little buddy?
The Eric Metaxas Show.
Isn't it great having an announcer who cares? I wish I cared half as much about Todd as he cares about me, but the fact of the matter is I don't. Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show, and I love it when we can have our guests in the studio. And when your guest is Kevin Sorbo, it's almost a waste not to have him in the studio because he's a real physical specimen. And I'm saying that with a long history established of heterosexuality. Kevin Sorbo, welcome to this program.
Thank you. I'm a flaming heterosexual myself. I got to say,
you look, you're famous for your looks. OK, many people know you, obviously, from Hercules. How many years of Hercules did you do?
7 years down in beautiful New Zealand. It was amazing. You know, initially it was going to be 5 2-hour movies. We shot a whole year, and I got to work with Anthony Quinn that entire year. He played Zeus.
Now, wait a minute.
How cool is that?
Wait a minute. You got to work with Anthony Quinn?
For an entire year. And we had dinner every Saturday night together, Stories of Lawrence of Arabia, Requiem for Heavyweights.
I want to tell you something. One of the greatest movies in the history of movies, Requiem for a Heavyweight.
Can I segue how that happened?
Well, yes, okay. Because I just want to say, first of all, we've got the full hour.
Oh, wow.
I want to talk to you about Christmas Dreams, the DVD that's coming out. I want to talk to you about Bernie the Dolphin. We're going to get to all this stuff. But when you mention that you were hanging out with Anthony Quinn, everything stops because I cannot even believe that. That man, Requiem for a Heavyweight, is such a powerful movie. I could almost cry just thinking about it.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when he... Initially, they went after Charlton Heston, who I got to meet, thank God, because I'm a big fan of Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
He said, I can't play this role. He played Zeus. He said, I'm just not funny. Because Hercules had a lot of comedy elements.
Wait, I'm totally confused. We're not talking about Requiem for Heavyweight. We're talking about when you were doing Hercules.
Before the series started. I'd been booked for the role, but they're looking for
Zeus. So this is like the early
Zeus.
90s? I can't remember.
1993 we started filming. Yeah.
So in 93, they wanted Charlton Heston to play Zeus?
Yeah.
They figured, hey, you did Moses. You could do Zeus.
Sure. He can go biblical and mythological.
And
why not?
And why didn't he want to do it?
He said, I'm not funny. I'm just not funny to do it.
Whoever thought Zeus was funny?
Well, because that's the way they wrote the shows. We're talking, this comes from Sam Raimi and Rob Tapper. These are the guys that did Evil Dead and all these other sort of, you know, crazy movies. And so when Anthony Quinn got down there, the first thing I asked him, number one, I said, you know, 6 Academy Award nominations, 2 wins. Why would you want to do a television movie? He said, Kevin, I'm 78 years old. I've always wanted to play Zeus. When will I ever get a chance to play Zeus? So it was pretty cool.
I think the last movie I saw him in was Spike Lee's Jungle Fever. I believe he was in that. He played the father of... Anyway, Anthony Quinn is such a legend.
Yeah.
But what's funny, I saw something on Turner Classic Movies last night about Sophia Loren, and it's the same kind of thing. You look at these iconic people, and you forget that some of them are, in fact, genius actors.
Yeah.
He was a genius actor. Requiem for a Heavyweight, we should tell the plot of that.
Amazing artist. Well, I got to jump to, they're doing Lawrence of Arabia, right? They're a year into the project.
Okay, this is 1961, they're filming it.
They're a year into the project.
With Peter O'Toole, Omar Sharif.
Yep. The greatest entrance to a movie ever with Omar Sharif. And they were supposed to be done after a year. They were only halfway done. So all the investors from London came down to Morocco and said, okay, what's going on here? What do you need from us? And David Lean says, I need to rewrite the second half. And they said, well, how much time do you need? About 6 months. Quinn told me that all the financiers, their heads fell in their bowls of couscous because they were just blown away. What they said, you got to be kidding me. But back then, all the actors were under contracts. So they fly Anthony Quinn back to L.A.
Oh, of course.
He shoots Requiem for a Heavyweight
to go back.
So who knows if he would have done that role. He ends up getting nominated for the Best Actor Award for
Requiem
that.
For Heavyweight. First amazing? Of all, Julie Harris plays his sort of love interest or whatever. But it is one of the most touching. I just cannot say what a beautiful movie that is. Well, the ending of it, you just want to cry.
I got to tell you, a number of reasons why I wanted to be an actor, but when I was a young kid, I watched all of the golden age of Hollywood with my mom, from Spencer Tracy, Catherine Cary Grant.
I grew up
in a little town called Mound, Minnesota, just west of Minneapolis, on beautiful Lake Minnetonka. We were home to Tonka Toys.
Is that true?
That was the headquarters of Tonka Toys, about 25 miles west of Minneapolis.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, so the fact that you get to work in your career with Anthony Quinn.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Well, how in the world did we get to that? What were we talking about?
I don't know. You asked me about Hercules.
Because
It started as 5 2-hour movies, and by the third movie, they said, we love this. Universal said, we're going to make it a series. So it went on to become the most watched TV show in the world. We passed Baywatch by our third year.
Thank the Lord.
We're still in 60 countries.
Something needed to pass Baywatch.
Well, you know, we had a lot of cleavage on my show, too. We call it Baywatch BC, but we had a lot more humor.
No. Look, there's no comparison. When you think, and we need to think about this as Christians, okay, that Baywatch is what represented the United States of America to most of the world, that is not a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. There are worse things, but that's not a good thing. So I'll take Hercules any day.
But one thing I'll give Doug Schwartz credit for, who created Baywatch, he was also the exec producer on a wonderful movie I did called Soul Surfer, the Bethany Hamilton story.
Oh, I didn't know that. So if he only had done 100 Soul Surfers, he'll redeem himself from crappy Baywatch. You see, you can't respond because you know these people, but I can say whatever I want. Okay. But I want to talk to you about what you're doing now.
Sure.
We can talk about your career all day long, and I hope we will. But right now, tell us, what is Christmas Dreams?
Christmas Dreams is a family movie. It's a kids movie. It's really for kids under the age of 12. I think teenagers will go, oh, this isn't my cup of tea. Because, you know, it's a clashing in a positive way of the Little Drummer Boy meeting the Nutcracker. So you got two classic Christmas, iconic type shows brought together, stories.
The Little Drummer Boy meeting the Nutcracker. Yeah. There's a joke in there.
And it's a musical, but it's half animated, half live action, and I'm your narrator of it.
So. Are you on camera?
You never
or
see
off
me
camera?
On camera. No, I'm like your show right now. They're listening to me, but they
you know
can't
what?
See
I,
me.
This is the only thing that I've ever done. In VeggieTales, they let me be the narrator on the Esther video.
Sure.
And I realize it's a vegetable universe, so the narrator is some kind of a vegetable. But since I'm off camera, even I don't know what kind of vegetable I was.
There you go.
But the narrator is a big part. So you're the narrator on Christmas Dreams. That's the title.
Mm-hmm.
And but so what is it? It's a mashup of Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker ballet and Little Drummer Boy.
Yeah, it's an interesting mix together. I mean, but the story works, and I told you there's wonderful animation mixed in as well. And it's out there right now in Walmart. You can go pick it up in Walmart, the DVD, or you can go to Amazon or Amazon Streaming and pick it up.
And it's rated R. What is it? NC-17? What is it rated?
It would be pretty solid G. Yeah.
So this is rated G.
Yeah.
Rated G. Isn't it wonderful that some things can still be rated G?
I know.
So you can show this to your kids with joy and pride and safety. Christmas Dreams. Okay. Yep. And what is this thing you mentioned, Bernie the Dolphin?
Another rated G movie. And that opens. It just opened this past weekend. It's a great family movie. It's sort of like a Spy Kids meets Flipper. In a way, you know.
Oh, come on!
And I play the evil real estate guy trying to build on a resort on a turtle nesting ground.
I love the idea that we still have the stock cliche villains. Now it's the real estate developer who wants to destroy animals.
Could have been a lawyer, but that's overused.
So yeah, it's overused. But so you want to destroy a turtle nesting ground?
Yes.
To build what?
To build a resort, a big hotel, and, you know, just escape place in Florida.
So you want to bless people, and the evil turtles won't let you. Is that it?
The evil turtles won't let us. The kids end up busting what we're doing, because everything we're doing to get to those licenses and everything to be able to build this place is pretty illegal. I'm in cahoots with the mayor.
Oh, it's illegal.
Because it's a political guy, too.
You know what? People don't realize how much of that goes on. I grew up in Danbury, Connecticut, and that actually went on. They built the Danbury Fair Mall. This is getting... But it's interesting how when big money comes in, there's so much money to be made, you know, people get briefcases with cash. And so that goes on. Sure. So you're telling me that the kids in this movie thwart the evil schemes.
Yeah, they befriend a pod. Is it a pod of dolphins? Would they say a pod, a gaggle?
They would say, I think they would say, I know it's a pod of whales. It's probably a pod of dolphins.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
But there's one of the dolphins, Bernie.
It's called a tidal pod.
But Bernie saves the girl. It's a brother and sister team because she's drowning. And they become friends. And it's called Bernie because Bernie gets on the shore, gets beached, and he gets sunburned. These animals can get sunburned.
Oh, that's so it's spelled Bernie with a B-U-R. Okay, we're going to go to a break. Yeah. Folks, in case you didn't know, I'm talking to Kevin Sorbo in the new studio. Stick around. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Stay with me. Stay with me. Swim with me. Other dancers may be on the floor.
Folks, that's Bonnie Raitt. She's not in the studio, unfortunately, but guess what? Kevin Sorbo is in the studio. He's sitting right here. Kevin, welcome to the program.
I can sing, too, so you want me to ding the next one?
You know what? I can sing, too.
So there. We'll do a duet for the next segment.
Let's think what we want to do together.
Okay.
How about Ebony and Ivory?
There you go.
Okay. I
get really tan.
Okay. I want to talk to you. First of all, you're here to talk about your Christmas movie. It's called Christmas Dreams, and it sounds to me like it's a perfect film for kids, and there are not too many of those out there.
There's not.
So Christmas Dreams, number one, people can get it at Walmart, wherever. But you just mentioned another film that just came out this past weekend called Bernie the Dolphin, just the title, okay? So you said it's Flipper meets... I mean, it doesn't any film with a dolphin in it, by definition, come across as Flipper meets something.
Yeah,
Flipper
that,
meets
yeah.
Spy Kids. Okay.
Yep.
So you hope in the future it'll be Bernie meets, because people can say, who's Flipper? In fact, most people younger than us don't know who Flipper is.
But I got to tell you, before this movie even opened, which it did last weekend, months before, Lionsgate loved the rough cut and they ordered the sequel. And I start filming the sequel here this week down in Florida. So.
Okay. So this is a showbiz talk for... it's just kind of funny to say Lionsgate loves, and I always think, like, how many people out there are like aware they hear Lionsgate, but like they don't think the way you
think.
Right?
They see it in front of movies, though.
But in terms of like what you're saying is that they liked Bernie the Dolphin. You just said it, liked it so much that they are already before they're even seeing how the film's going to do. Yeah. They've already commissioned the sequel,
which is rare.
And is it going to be called Bernie the Dolphin 2 Electric Boogaloo?
There you go. Well, I like that. We'll add the Boogaloo.
Yeah,
I like
Electric
that.
Boogaloo. You can do that now because the rights have reverted.
Sure.
Mr. Boogaloo died. Bernie the Dolphin. So how does the dolphin get involved? And who is this dolphin in the story? Like, why is a dolphin involved? Why does a dolphin care? Is he friends with the turtles?
He's very good friends with the kids. The whole pod of the dolphins. And people are going, it's not a pod. Okay, you know what I mean? A bunch of dolphins. They befriend them. They're videotaping. They're doing their own little documentary. There's this little brother and sister team. And the girl gets a boat comes by really quick with a huge wake, knocks their little canoe over. She falls in the water and almost drowns. The dolphin comes and saves her life.
Right.
And that's Bernie. So they befriend Bernie. And every time they go back to that area where those dolphins hang out, they're always hanging, feeding them and hanging out, having fun, swimming with them. Well, Bernie gets beached and he gets a sunburn. Hence the name Bernie comes from that. And they have to bring him to a marina and it's an aquarium place and they bring him back to health.
Well, now, wait a minute. Dolphins can get sunburned?
Yeah, true.
I'm just...
Google it. It's there.
I'm just stymied. Mm-hmm. Dolphins can get sunburned.
Yes.
Do they? So they never put on lotion?
No, apparently not.
Because they're under the sea and it comes off in 2 minutes.
There you go.
That's incredible. They can get sunburned. I mean, can they get tan?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
If you're going to base the whole movie on the idea that they can get sunburned, I just want to know, can they get tan? Do they want to get tan?
They don't want to get tan.
God, think of the money you could make selling dolphins suntan lotion. All right, we're going to move on. So, but okay, so you're, but you're doing so many different things. Let's talk also about, I interviewed Sean Hannity, I guess it's about a year and a half ago, in Nashville when he came down, mm-hmm. because Let There Be Light, the film that you made that he was one of the producers, that is just now out in DVD.
Yep.
Okay, so what is the plot of that? For people who are unaware of, they want another good movie to watch with the family.
Well, Let There Be Light, I tell you, we're very proud of this little budget, low budget movie. We opened against Star Wars last October, November, December. So here's a $300 million movie up against this $2 million movie. And we finished number two per screen average 3 weeks in a row behind that movie. This is a movie that's got, you know, $100 million budget to just promote it and be on every football game and basketball game and promote it. We're just out there. I'm doing this. I'm hitting as many. And Sean, of course, is plugging the heck out of it as well. And it's a movie I play like a Dawkins Hitchens type of atheist. He's like a very famous, world famous atheist. He's known for just going after the any pastor, any religious leader who wants to debate him about the existence of God. Yeah. He has a life-changing event that happens to him and sort of challenges his worldview when it comes down to, you know, he doesn't really know where to go and turn with us because it's driving him crazy. And the only outlet he has is his ex-wife. They've been divorced for 8 years. And she sort of helps him try to find where his place should be.
Does your wife play the
ex-wife?
She does.
And my two sons are in it as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Am I in it?
No, but you'll be in the next one. You'll be in Let There Be Light Part 2.
I'm just dying to play. Can I play the dolphin?
You can. We'll put a dolphin in Let There Be Light.
You know what? I really believe that I could be a pretty persuasive dolphin. I don't think people would know it was me. I just have a
just
feeling
work on
that,
the sound.
That I could do it. Now, how did you team up with Sean Hannity to do Let There Be Light? How did that work out?
You know, that was Sean calling me. I mean, I've been on the show a number of times through the years. He loved my movies. Like, you know, he called up and said, look, I loved What If and Abel's Field and Soul Surfer and God's Not Dead. You have something like this? And I said, well, yeah, we do. My wife had just finished writing it. And a good dear friend
so
of mine.
So she's not just a pretty face, evidently.
No.
Incredible. No, your wife is amazing.
She was a biochemical engineering major at Duke. I went to college to play sports and see what kind of girls were going to be in my whatever class.
Right.
We had a whole different agenda in college. But she wrote it. And then a friend came on and did a rewrite on it. Dan Gordon, wonderful writer. He wrote The Hurricane, Denzel Washington, Wide Earp. And he was a showrunner of Michael Landon's Highway to Heaven.
Oh, my gosh.
He wrote
gosh.
60 of those episodes. And he came in to rewrite. 2 weeks later, we get the call from Sean. We fly here to New York. We pitched him. He said, I love it. Wrote a check. Went to Birmingham, Alabama. We shot it, and it was in theaters just 6 months later.
So one meeting, and you get millions of dollars out of Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
I can't even get the guy to promote my book, Donald Drains the Swamp. It's a pro-Trump children's book, and I can't even get it to be on the show. I'm telling you, I'm gonna hang out with you and figure out what your trick is. No, but it's so funny because you realize, obviously, I was joking with you before that, no matter how successful you get, and I'm talking about you, not me, but you still have to spend so much time trying to get the word out. That's just a huge thing.
Especially in indies. You don't have the big button. You know, they do the next Avengers. They put $300-400 million in these movies, and they got to make $700-800 million just to break even. But a lot of these movies worldwide will make $1.5 to $2 billion. So they're willing to keep pumping out the next Avengers, the next Thor, whatever, because people still go to them. So when you got a low budget like what we're doing, you got to get out there and just hit. It's got to be word of mouth. And that's like God's Not Dead. We just hit the right vein. That's a $2 million movie made $140 million worldwide. It's crazy.
Unbelievable.
But we got to push it. I'm going to get back to Let There Be Light because we mentioned Christmas Dreams. So when you go to Walmart to pick up Christmas Dreams, please pick up Let There Be Light. And there's a book attached to it. My wife and I wrote. It's a 40-page devotional. And it's put together with Let There Be Light. So pick up both of them and pick up 10 copies of each and spread them to your friends.
Sounds like a perfect Christmas gift. Well, I mean, look, it's part of my calling on this program to let people know what's out there because, you know, Jimmy Fallon is not covering the subject.
No.
Let's be honest. Okay.
No.
So it's important that we get the word out because there's so many people looking for something good.
I'm going to go back to God's Not Dead. Here's a movie that finished in all the thousands of movies in the history of Hollywood. This movie finished in the top five dollar-for-dollar return. We couldn't get on any of the network shows. Couldn't get it. The only outlet we could get on for television was Fox. It's amazing to me.
Look, they are so biased. Oh. I mean, this is what we were talking earlier. I said that when you think about it, okay, if we live in a cultural democracy, right, it would mean that the values of America would be reflected back in the media, right? Like, you know, the free market's supposed to give you what you want. There are 100 million Americans more looking for good stuff. Sure. Half the country voted for Donald Trump. Okay, so you turn on the TV, you would get the impression from Jimmy Fallon, from Colbert, from Kimmel, from Conan, whatever it is, that nobody in the country has biblical values. Nobody in the country wants to raise their kids in that way. You would get the impression that that's America. And you realize it's not. We are not being represented on late night TV. We're not being represented. It's just one of those things. And Fox covers politics so much that they really don't have the bandwidth to cover too much cultural stuff. Sure. So they'll give you a couple minutes. But it's a real problem in this country. And as I said, it's why I do what I do. Before we go to a break, we've got more with Kevin Sorbo. I want to mention, folks, we're doing a Christmas appeal for CSI. That's Christian Solidarity International. They help persecuted Christians around the world. When you hear of the horrors of what Christians are suffering around the world, you want to weep. But I want to tell you, there is great news. The news is you and I can do something about it. It's an extraordinary opportunity. Please don't let it pass you by. This Christmas season, people are being persecuted for believing what we believe, but we can do something. If you go to my website, MetaxasTalk.com, right at the top of the page, you see the banner for CSI. You can give. It gives you all the details on the things that we want to send you. Albin and I are going to send you all kinds of stuff just for giving. It doesn't come out of their budget. We just want to do it to bless you. You get a free subscription to Metaxas Super. You can watch us in the studio, all kinds of stuff. Please do it. Tell your kids about it. Get them involved. MetaxasTalk.com is the website. We'll be right back with Kevin Sorbo. Hey there, folks. That's Paul McCartney. I'm Eric Metaxas, and I'm sitting here in the studio with Kevin Sorbo right here in New York. Kevin, welcome to New York City.
It's good to be back.
Wasn't there a movie, Hercules in New York, but I think that was starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It was Arnold, and his accent was so thick, they dubbed it. They got another actor to do all of his dialogue.
You are kidding.
Kid you not.
So you mean his accent was once thicker?
Thicker than what it is now.
That's hard to believe. That's like whatever Campbell's chunky soup being even chunkier. Like it would be solid. It would be solid. So his accent was solid. But that was Hercules in New York. You were Hercules in New Zealand.
I was.
Now, seriously, though, when you started to be in New Zealand, I mean, because, you know, most people are not in show business. So they think, what does that mean? You fly there and you film like for months and months and months. Or how does that work?
I was down there about 10 months each year for 7 years. So that was home. That was my home address.
10 yeah. months?
Yep.
How many episodes did you shoot?
We had 22 episodes a year, and we shot anywhere from 8, 9, or 10 days per episode. It depended on locations and, you know, things like that. So it was pretty intense and fun. 3 fight scenes every episode. I did all my stunts because my ego said I could.
Did you say 3 fight scenes per episode?
Per episode,
like that's in the baked into the formula.
Yeah.
Like they need to see fight scenes.
Yep. But they're always humorous, you know.
And like you met your wife, Sam, on the set.
Yeah, every 2 weeks they sent down a beautiful girl for me to work with. It was a great dating service. So
I met her
at the end of season 4, and I was hitting on her right away, man. And she.
But isn't that funny that it took to the 4th season?
Yeah.
You've got very high standards.
I do.
Okay,
I got tired of telling my life story.
Really.
I'll
just marry you, Sam.
20 years later.
And we'll see what happens.
3 kids.
And you've got 3 kids.
Yeah.
But to live in New Zealand, I mean, everybody goes on and on about how gorgeous it is there.
Amazing.
But it's just a wild idea, you know, to go from Minnesota to New Zealand and to have like a life in New Zealand.
It's interesting. Initially, the series was going to be shot in Cape Town in South Africa, and then they decided to move it to Australia, and then they said, no, we're going to shoot it in New Zealand. So they were just kind of bounced around. So it was just dumb luck I ended up there, and it was just even more crazy. It ended up being a huge hit.
It's one place I have never been
to,
and everybody says it's so beautiful. So if somebody invites me to speak in New Zealand, that's typically how I
travel. No open borders there. You want to go to the country, you got to bring something to the country.
Really? Is that right?
Pretty tough to get in. Yeah.
Really?
They're pretty strict, yeah.
What bigots? Okay,
I know.
So what xenophobes? they just don't like the way we look. That's all there is to it.
I guess it could be.
Okay, so when you talk about a big series like Hercules, right? You understand that all these actors are trying to get gigs and trying to get and you luck into something like this. This is not to say that you're not talented, but you realize that you don't have a clue what's going to happen to the series.
No.
And it blows up.
Timing and luck.
It becomes, now you're telling me it's like literally the most popular.
It was, yeah. 176 countries at its peak. Yeah.
You can't go anywhere.
No.
You can't even go here.
I can't go to Guam.
That is.
They're going to catch me in Guam.
It's incredible. Okay, so it blows up. And so for the rest of your life, of course, whether you like it or not, you're Hercules.
That, you know, but there's also the big sci-fi fans. I went right from there straight into Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda, which is the first show he wrote after Star Trek. So after Captain Kirk, I was the first captain ever created from Gene's mind. I was Captain Dylan Hunt.
Oh, my gosh.
So they can pick that up on DVD, by all 110 episodes are right now.
Wow.
Lionsgate now owns everything that
you,
was Andromeda.
You have been one busy dude. Oh, my gosh. Okay, but you have three kids.
I do.
How old are these kids?
My oldest is 17, and then my other boy is 14, almost 15, and my girl's 13. So they're all teens.
Okay, so you're not thinking about college yet.
Kind of what the 17-year-old is, yeah.
Well, actually, right. What am I saying?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a good segue for me to bring. I wanted to bring up Hillsdale College. I know you know about them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people listening to this program know there are very few colleges that I will rave about. Hillsdale is one of them. And the reason I say this, I want to be clear because it fits in with what I talk about on this program all the time. The concept of objective truth, which used to be, you know, part of how we taught kids, it's effectively gone. And to talk about something like virtue or honor or any of that stuff, totally gone from public school education. And if you happen to get it in elementary school or in high school, like you go to a classical Christian school or you're homeschooled, by the time you get to college, they will undo in four years with your parents' money what you, okay?
Sure.
So one of the reasons I love King's College and a number of colleges across country and Hillsdale I'm talking about right now is because they actually believe in teaching students what is good, true, and beautiful as though these things matter because they do. They believe that America is beautiful and is an exceptional idea that the founders gave us, God gave us through the founders, an amazing gift, self-government. They care about preserving religious liberty, all of that stuff. But they don't just do it for their students, okay? If you go to our website, metaxasforhillsdale.com, it's something they created just for the show. They do all kinds of stuff for people who are not at the undergraduate level, which is you and me. We can go to metaxasforhillsdale.com, and often they offer free online courses on the Constitution, on the Senate. These are the same professors that they have at Hillsdale. Folks, you got to check it out. metaxasforhillsdale.com. You'll see what I'm talking about, metaxasforhillsdale.com. And I want to say before we go, we'll be back with Kevin Sorbo, but we're doing a raise for CSI. That's Christian Solidarity International. There is nobody better, okay, about caring for those around the world who are being persecuted for their faith. As we think about Christmas, there are people around the world who simply for believing the Christmas story are being brutally persecuted, enslaved, all kinds of stuff. I just want to tell you, go to Metaxas. Talk.com, CSI banner, MetaxasTalk.com. You can do something. Please do something this Christmas season. That's today, MetaxasTalk.com. Click on the banner.
Christmas like a lullaby steals across the land. A breeze upon the water, rainfall upon the sand. We celebrate a baby born from spirit into man. And Christmas like a lullaby steals across the land.
Hey there, folks. Merry Christmas. That is John Denver. I'm sitting here with Kevin Sorbo in the studio. And of course, Kevin, we're around the same age. And so you immediately recognized
Oh, yeah.
that. But who knew that John Denver sang you know, theologically orthodox lyrics to his songs. It's not just about Rudolph or something. Right?
No, actually, I've never heard that before. It's wonderful. And
well,
I got to meet him one time.
I met
him in a lobby in a hotel in Sydney, Australia, when I was shooting a commercial back in 1986.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was pretty cool to meet him and talk, because the woman he married, Annie, the Annie song he wrote about, he was at a small town college in south of Minneapolis called Gustavus Adolphus. They're a string of Lutheran colleges.
Sounds vaguely
there.
Lutheran.
And my brother went there. My brother knew Annie. They were in the same class.
Oh, my
gosh. And he was down there performing at that in St. Peter, Minnesota, near where the Minnesota Vikings used to train all the time in Mankato. And that's where they met and got married.
Unbelievable. No matter where we go, we bump into celebrity stories. I love it. It's just so funny, because I was going to ask you, you have worked with all kinds of celebrities. You mentioned working with Anthony Quinn, which I still cannot get over. I always say to people, I watch Turner Classic Movies all the time. If you can get Requiem for a Heavyweight, don't waste your time. There's some films like, why waste your time? Requiem for a Heavyweight, it's one of the classics. But who else have you bumped into over the years? I mean, you've been working in this business for a long time.
I tell you, the year before I got Hercules, I got a guest spot on Murder, She Wrote with Angela Lansbury. And my mom flipped.
Yeah.
So I had to get, I was imperative that I get an autograph from my mom, from Angela. And she and her husband invited me into their trailer on the set there at the Universal lot to have lunch with them. And I come walking out, and the whole crew's looking at me going, she never does that. She never invites people in. And then I find out the next day she was kind of quizzing me because she wanted to set me up on a blind date with her niece.
Are you kidding?
So I went on the blind date.
It pays to be good looking. You get to hang out with Angela Lansbury.
It was pretty cool.
Well, let me just say that, you know, most of us think of her from Murder, She Wrote. But she was, I mean, it's very rare that you have an actress that goes this far back. She was in with Ingmar Bergman in Notorious.
Yeah. She was in a lot of, I mean, yeah.
Which is just, and wait, am I getting that right? What's the, no, I'm sorry. Gaslight. I get them confused. She was in Gaslight with Ingmar Bergman, and she plays the saucy, you know, the very young, beautiful housemaid, right? And she's got designs on the master of the house, and he's the one that's where we get the term gaslighting. He's gaslighting poor Ingmar Bergman. But it when you think about that, she goes from that, which was sometime in the 40s.
And she's a stage actress as well.
I saw her on the stage, you know, not that long ago. Something was here in Broadway. But then she's in The Manchurian Candidate, you know, she has an amazing career. Yeah. So the fact that you get to hang out with Angela Lansbury.
It's pretty cool.
And, I just want to ask you what other celebrities you've met. And of course, you're in the LA area now. You've experienced the fires there. Tell us about that, please.
I'd flown out that day. I went to Indianapolis to speak at a religious event there. And, 2,100 people, and I land at 5 o'clock Eastern time, so it's 2 o'clock back home in L.A. My wife calls me. She says, there's fires 10 miles north of us. I said, you kidding? No, yeah. Keep me in touch. Kept my phone on. I get a text at 3 o'clock in the morning, my time there, midnight in L.A., saying we have to evacuate now. And I try to go back and see what's going on, but the cell towers got burnt down. It's gone. I turn on KTLA, the local station in L.A., on my computer to see what's going on. And they have a helicopter flying over. They put the streets down. There is my street with three homes burning to the ground. Right, they're huge. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, so it was dark. But just the street I could see, and I know the house next door to me. And I'm trying to get a hold of my wife, and I said to myself, my house gone. My house is going to be gone. I had to speak that day at noon. I was just freaking out the whole time. 2,100 people prayed for me and prayed for my house. I get back that night. My house survived. Why? I don't know. The hot fire came up on all four sides and stopped just feet from the house. It's amazing.
So I think it's good insurance, fire insurance, to have a huge social media following.
you
can put out the prayer request. So when people say, like, hey, what do you care how many people like you? What's wrong with you? It's fire insurance, ladies and gentlemen.
Insurance.
I mean, the idea that you had this. Look, we joke around. We believe in prayer. So that's amazing.
It's a miracle. I still walk around, I mean, for miles. We're talking for miles. It jumped the 101 freeway, went another 12 miles all the way down through Malibu. And
somehow
up.
Your house was not burned. Now, you're not exaggerating. I mean, this is kind of miraculous.
I got a video I could show you. It's unbelievable. I still walk around now, and this I can't believe this happened. I just finished directing a movie called Miracle in East Texas, based on a true story set in 1930. And it's about the oil boom during the right in the middle of the beginning of the depression. And Lou Gossett Jr. is in the movie with me. He had just sold his house. He's moved to Atlanta. He's doing a series there, but he just wanted to leave California for 30 years. The people that bought his house burnt to the ground. And he had just sold it 2 months before the fire. But those people have only been in the house 2 months. It's now gone.
Oh my God!
It's just crazy.
You can't now. You say you're directing movie. You're doing all kinds of stuff. Do you ever get to see your wife anymore?
We homeschool, so they travel with us. Okay. My wife's in the movie Miracle. It'll
now
be out next
that's
summer.
Good. When
so
I direct movies, I'll put my wife in the movies.
I'll be
too.
Back yeah. next summer. We'll talk about it when
that
it comes
is so
out.
Cool.
It's a wonderful story based on two con men played by myself and John Ratzenberger.
And John Ratzenberger. Yeah. John Ratzenberger is conservative.
Big time, yeah.
Isn't that amazing that people don't know who he is? Tell us who he is.
Well, people know him probably best from Cliff, Cheers.
Of course.
He was
course.
The postman on Cheers Cliff. For many, many years.
He was one of the funniest characters. Of course, that show is one of the greatest written shows in the history of comedy. But he is such a character, you cannot separate him. I met him at some event like 10 years ago. And it's just it plays with your head because he's that guy, and yet of course
I'm gonna be real quick with the story. He
yeah.
created that role. He was in New York City. They called him to read for the part of Norm. He knew as he's walking out the door that he goes, "I sucked. I knew I wasn't gonna get it." I turned around and he says, "Hey, yeah, you know every bar should have a know-it-all. You know every bar's got a know-it-all." And he goes right down the middle of all the producers. You know, cumulus nimbus clouds are formed by. And he just went blah blah blah. Walked out of the room and they looked around. We need a know-it-all. He created his own part in 12 years on a TV series.
We need a know-it-all postal carrier.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. Talk about chutzpah.
Talk about luck.
Talk about chutzpah. We're going to be right back talking to Kevin Sorbo. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Stick around.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Kevin Sorbo is sitting here with me in the studio, and he's snickering. Why are you snickering, sir?
You got John Lennon, who says he's more famous than Jesus.
Well,
can we not forgive
John Lennon? Not only
we
is he,
can. We
not
can.
Only is he dead for lo these 40 stinking years.
It's amazing.
Look,
I know.
It's 38 years.
I know.
So he's dead for 38 years. I think he apologized for that.
I'm a fan.
I think
so,
you need to let it go, brother.
I'm letting it go. But I laughed because I thought it was just kind of funny.
It is funny. It's hilarious. What's even funnier is, have you ever heard Yoko sing? Okay.
No, I don't want to.
you were just saying before we went to the break, first of all, we've got two things that I want to make sure my audience is aware of. Okay. You have a Christmas movie out right now called Christmas Dreams.
It's on
DVD. They can get it where?
Walmart. They can go to Amazon, but please go pick it up. It's for kids. It's a wonderful thing. Go to ChristmasDreamsTheMovie.com.
Okay.
You better be writing these things down at home.
And it's
ChristmasDreamsTheMovie.com.
ChristmasDreamsTheMovie.com. And it's a reimagination of The Nutcracker and The Little Drummer Boy. So is it kind of like, do they get in a fight?
It's a musical.
Does the Nutcracker come after the Little Drummer Boy? Does the Drummer Boy come after the Nutcracker with the sticks?
It's all a good thing.
It's good?
It's all a good thing. Families will love it. Kids will love it. That's
okay.
What it's for. And please, I'm the narrator, so you'll hear my
voice.
You're
the narrator.
Yes.
So your wonderful, calming voice will be
on
there.
That's right. I'll be nice and smooth.
Nice and smooth, like a narrator. Okay, so Christmas Dreams, and then Bernie the Dolphin.
Bernie the Dolphin opened just this past weekend. Please go to the theaters.
Bernie the Sunburnt Dolphin.
Bernie the Sunburnt Dolphin. Another good family. Rated G from Lionsgate and Nambi. They're going to love it. And when you go pick up Christmas Dreams, pick up Let There Be Light and the book that it goes with it.
Okay, Let There Be Light is the film that Sean Hannity produced. I remember we talked about it last year.
Yep.
You play a famous atheist. Don't you play a famous atheist in every film now?
Well, no, just those. In God's Not Dead, I was just a typical, you know, when I say an atheist college professor, I felt less redundant. I think all I got to say is college professor.
Right.
You're there.
That's right.
But in this one, I'm a world famous atheist.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like a Hitchens Dawkins kind of guy.
Right. Okay. And I always say this, I have to say this to you, that whenever anybody comes on this program and they've got a film with some kind of a faith theme,
mm-hmm.
I always say to them, is Kevin Sorbo in it? And if they say no, I go, well, look, then it's not a Christian film.
Thank you.
Because to be an official Christian film, Kevin Sorbo has to be in it. I'm just telling you, that look it up in the dictionary.
So
I'm not making this up.
Jim Caviezel is a good friend of mine. We had the same manager for years. I think they're going to do part two of The Passion. So tell Mel Gibson, who knows me, to put me in the sequel along with Jim Caviezel.
I'm going to tell him to put me in it.
We should all be in it.
I want to play Ananias or Sapphira. I don't care. No, seriously, that is nuts. They're making a sequel to The Passion?
They will do The Resurrection, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like, and this time Jesus escapes and he goes on to be like a world teacher into his 80s or something. No.
I think they're sticking sort of the Bible.
It's going to be The Resurrection. Good. But is Mel Gibson involved in it?
I think he'll be directing it again, sure.
I mean, see, if he doesn't direct it, it's not the sequel to The Passion.
I'd say you're looking 3 years down the road, but yeah.
But you know what?
It.
I think the problem for Mel is that I think the whole resurrection story is not violent enough for him. You know what I mean? If it's not really gory, he's just not interested. You know?
I think he'll do it.
He could do anything. He could make anything gory. That's the problem. We were thinking of asking him to direct the Bonhoeffer film, but we don't want that to be that gory. I love Mel Gibson. I shouldn't joke. We're out of time. Okay, folks, Christmas Dreams, the DVD, Bernie the Dolphin. I love that. And you, sir, are Kevin Sorbo. My friend, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Folks, you got to go to our website, MetaxasTalk.com. Give to CSI this Christmas season. It is vital that we give back. We have a religious liberty. We need to help those who are suffering for their faith. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. CSI is the banner. God bless you.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.